second Sunday after Pentecost. The revised Mass attendance and confessions announcement is on the bulletin board, and also the details can be seen on the website. And if you have any questions, you may contact us. You may also view the Sunday and daily Masses on the live stream on our website. Please check the signup.com website to see what group is assigned to which Mass each week. Beginning tomorrow, Monday, June 15th, the daily Mass schedule will change to just one Mass at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Saturday. The chapel will still remain closed on Thursday. Friday, June 19th, is the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. There will be one low Mass with a sermon at 8:30. First Holy Communion Sunday will be on Sunday, June 28th. Thank you to those who assisted us in mowing the landscape this last week. Those of you who wish to assist in the cleaning of the chapel may do so at the usual time after the 8:30 Mass on Mondays. Please sign up on the signup.com website if you are interested in helping. So you can check out the details. I don't have it here. I do not know which group you are, so I cannot tell you where you'll be. Well, I can tell you where you'll be next week, because it just rotates. If you've already seen, so you will be at the 7 a.m. Mass next week. I don't know which group letter you are. So for everyone else, you have to check to see which group you're in, and it just changes. So if you're at the 7 a.m. this morning, you're at 8:15 next week. So I don't have that in front of me. It's on the board there. Everything else is the same, except that we are switching to only one daily Mass at 8:30. And this week we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart. And again, 2 weeks from today is the First Holy Communion Sunday. Thank you for I don't know if any of the people here today are the ones that helped with the mowing the lawn and everything, but I know everyone helps in different ways. But it looks fantastic. And it's so inviting to people. We've had several non-Catholics coming in over these past weeks. And one came on Pentecost, had never been here before, said that as he was driving up, he could see what he called an oasis. And he said, that must be where I'm going. And so taking care of God's house, as you all do, you're adding to that. A natural pull for this person. And I heard him repeat it to some of our people after the Mass. This is an oasis. And so thank you for cleaning the chapel too. One thing, as you can tell, things are changing almost hourly. So we anticipate more changes, but the one thing that cannot change, and I want to tell you this, you've got to stay healthy. Spiritually and corporally. Spiritually, you've got to do more than you've ever done. You have to pray more at home because you don't have the free access you've always had. So you have to be spiritually the healthiest you can be, and also physically. That is, you have to keep your immune systems very well strengthened so that no one gets sick. I mean, it's just for your own well-being, but it's also for the chapel. If any people in churches get sick, they're going to clamp down. Today is also the Feast of St. Basil the Great. Just to tell you, this is just to list his things. His rule of life is what St. Benedict used for the rule of the Western monasticism. He is one of the Cappadocian fathers. His family is saints. And then his friend, St. Gregory Nazianzen, we had a couple of weeks ago, this St. Basil was a classmate of Julian the Apostate. How we can go off the path, be a saint or an apostate. He is a doctor of the Eastern Church. Tomorrow we have a commemoration. I'm just going to mention St. Vitus, who in English we know as St. Guy. He's a patron saint for people with epilepsy. Wednesday is St. Gregory Barbarigo, just to mention. He was the Patriarch of Venice, a cardinal. And he was a diplomat, just to tell you this. He was a diplomat, and he went to a very famous, where they formed the Treaty of Westphalia. He was a diplomat there, and he met a prelate, a priest, a bishop, who challenged him, and it bothered him enough that he went back and talked to a spiritual director and said, I have to find out if I do have this call that God is giving me. Some priest, this bishop told him, and that's what changed his life. So he's already in a career, and he changed his life. Thursday is the feast of St. Ephrem, who is called the Harp of the Holy Ghost. So another Eastern father, desert father, a deacon, and I just recall one of the bishops of that rite, very proud of their saint, talking about him. Friday, of course, is the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and also St. Giuliani Falconieri, who is the great Servite saint, whose uncle was one of the founders of the order. There's also commemorated that day St. Gervasi and Protasi, martyrs whom St. Ambrose found and brought them to the church in Milan. And then finally, Pope Silverius is on Saturday and died a martyr, very short pontificate. What did he do to get in trouble? This is in the Christian days. This is in the days after Constantine. What happened? He defended the faith, and the empress didn't like that. So he had to pay for it with his life. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. John's first epistle. Beloved, do not be surprised if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In this we have come to know his love, that he laid down his life for us, and we likewise ought to lay down our life for the brethren. He who has the goods of this world and sees his brother in need and closes his heart to him, how does the love of God abide in him? My dear children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 16 to 24. At that time, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. A certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to tell those invited to come, for everything is now ready. And they all with one accord began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, I have bought a farm, and I must go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant returned and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house was angry and said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Sir, thy order has been carried out, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and make them come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you that none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are, of course, in very challenging days. It can be discouraging. It can be daunting. But you know what? It's invigorating. It's inspiring. It's tremendous. No one else in history has lived through the days you have lived through. And I look at young people, don't forget. No one ahead of you has ever seen the planet shut down. No one. And God has picked us, you, me, all of us today, to live in these days. And he never gives us something that's beyond our strength. It will be beyond our natural powers. And unfortunately, we see that happening. How many people have actually committed suicide these days? That's because they don't know about God. They rely on self, and this crushes them. It's not the case for us. We recognize we are the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. That's what I am. And God says, make them come in. But the people who rely on self, we see what happens to them. So that's why you have to pray more than ever, as often as you can, to receive the sacraments. Now, that was a little statement about our present times, but let's talk about how that happens. How and why should we be encouraged? Why should we be inspired? Why should we be excited? Because we have God. The Holy Ghost has descended upon the church on Pentecost just 2 weeks ago. We had the beginning of this new season after Pentecost, starting with Trinity Sunday. We've heard all these things. Hopefully, those who were not at the Mass with the sermon, you've been following, watching on the website, or listening. Or if you don't want to hear the priest as the intermediary, you've been praying over the texts, and God himself has been teaching. So you've not lost any of the lessons of these days. And the lesson is that we can turn within in the state of grace and always have contact with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's never a reason to be discouraged. I have God with me in the state of grace. Nothing can hurt me. And this is constantly being given to us to understand. So after we understand the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, right after the descent of the Holy Ghost on the church, first he tells us, I will not leave you orphans. I, the Father, and the Holy Ghost dwell within you. And then he says, and more than that, I leave you my own body and blood. So right after the Holy Trinity, we are given Corpus Christi. And this whole season, really, the longest of the year? Because half the year, and it's the other half of the year is broken up into Advent, Christmas time, Epiphanies. Here it's all one season. And what is its goal? To put into effect, into practice, everything we've already learned. to make these truths of that our Lord came in the earth to preach and tell us about, to make them a reality in our daily lives. That's what this is all about. With the, I'm thinking right now of the Infinite Prague statue as I put my hand out like this. There is our Lord holding the planet as a little infant. No two-year-old can, no one can do that. So the statue is teaching us that this two-year-old is God. And that's what's going to hold us up all during this season, because we can't, here we are at the beginning, this is the second Sunday, so we can only give you the vision of what's happening. But that support for us throughout this is divine providence. All of your hairs are numbered, our Lord teaches us. So this whole season is one of divine providence. God is always there holding us up. And I have to turn right, why do we have these green vestments? It is the season of hope, the return of nature reflecting the supernatural. Now we're pretty much into summer. You can see life coming back. That's all reflected in these vestments. That's why we Catholics cannot help but be always hopeful. And this whole season is going to be about providence, God holding us up. Perhaps we'll get into the text of the Mass to tell us that. And then the Holy Ghost, through the Church, starts us off on the lessons to be learned during this season and opens up the written Word of God and starts with the readings from the four kings, that is the four books of Kings in the Old Testament, as he starts teaching us the history of what happened to the chosen people. And the book opens up with this wonderful story about this holy woman named Anna, who by prayer was given a son that she promised to give to God, whose name was Samuel. And this woman, her story is wonderful, but she's famous, if you want, because we think of, who do you think of when you think of Anna? I think of St. Anne. And who is the daughter of St. Anne but the Blessed Virgin Mary? We can't, the Blessed Virgin was the greatest of prophets, knew the Bible better than anyone ever will. And when she composed her hymn, "My Soul Magnifies the Lord," how much was she thinking of Anna? Because Anna, at this great miracle of having this son, Samuel, composed a hymn that is a structure just like the Magnificat. And this little boy was handed over to the priest at the temple. And from a young age, probably about the age of 3. And so he would live there. And there's a beautiful story of how God first spoke to him as a little boy, maybe 5 or 6 years old. He had never experienced it before. So he went to the high priest and said, in the middle of the night, "Here I am." And the priest said, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." And this happened 3 times. Finally, the old priest realized what was happening. He said, "When you hear the voice waking you up, just say, 'Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.'" And the boy did that, and God revealed to him what was going to happen to this priest and his sons and to the people. Before I continue that, I have to say that this history of the Church that is being given to us through these four kings is going to take us through Saul and his whole story, David and his whole story, Solomon and his whole story, all of these kings, the splitting of the kingdom into the heretical group, and then the faithful ones, Judah, all in preparation for the coming of the Son of God. Then this historical teaching ends. Now the Holy Ghost of the church starts teaching us from the sapiential books, teaching us the wisdom that we should be gaining. And this goes on from August into September, October. And then finally, the Holy Ghost starts preparing us for the end of the liturgical year and the end of our lives, and starts teaching us what will happen in the end by the lessons of the Old Testament. So how the pagans will come in and take the church. And great heroes like the Maccabees will rise up in apocalyptic days before the end. Thinking of St. Teresa, a little flower, saying how much she envied the saints of the last day. She wished she could be one. That takes courage. I mean, we're speaking about being encouraged and excited about these days. But apocalyptic times? Well, of course, God give us strength, but not like St. Teresa to think, oh, that's what I want to be. That's where I want to be. So I just give you that, show you what's going on there, what the progression is in the lessons from our textbook, the Bible. Going back now, here's one of the lessons. Because the season was built around critical feast days during this year, during this time of the year. And so it was this first one we're given, Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. I will not leave you orphans. I am with you always. And Saint John Chrysostom was just speaking about it today. Learning salvation history in school, just as 10, 11, 12, always... We've said this in the past. What are you saying? What is going on with these people? They escape Egypt. They pass through the Red Sea. We heard on Pentecost that how big were these walls of the sea? 1,000 feet? They walk through it. The enemy comes in and they're all drowned. And they get into the desert. They're thirsty, and Moses strikes a rock, and water comes out. It's not like a little trickle, you know. This was for 600,000 people. It was a river. And then we don't have bread. God gives them bread. And what's their reaction? Putting up a golden calf. We're sick of this bread. That's what they said. The manna from heaven. We're sick of it. And just reading this, saying, what's going on? Didn't they just see these things? What's going on? It's not a surprise. St. John Chrysostom says, oh, people say today, in his day, oh, if I were there with our Lord when he walked on the earth, I would be doing these things. And St. John says to his people, what are you talking about? You are walking with him. He's right here. The way you treat him here is the way you would treat him there. So here we have this high priest and his sons. And the words that God told the little boy Samuel, he did not want to tell Eli, the high priest, because they were a prophecy. That you and your sons have abused the priesthood. You have abused the sacrifice that I have given the people. And it will be taken from you. You will be destroyed, wiped out, and the people will be punished because of you. We have to condense the remarks, because of course there's so much. You have to pray. You've got to pray. Because there's so much here. There's so much right here. You've got to ask for it. God wants to give it. Everything is conditioned on your praying for it. There's so much here we cannot give you. It's all right in front of me. Cannot give it to you. But God can. You've got to pray for it. You've got to ask him, teach me, what is this epistle? If I don't love, if I don't put it into action, then I have not passed from death to life. I have not come through the Red Sea. I have not come through the Passover. I have not come through Lent and Easter. And if I am like those poor, benighted souls that we laugh at and think, what's crazy about them? If I give up what I did through Lent and Easter so easily, I'm just like them. And we can't go into the introit, how David, reflecting on all of the things he went through, says, God, you loved me. You helped me. And introit responds, I love you back. And I love you in my neighbor. And in the gradual, in the alleluia, the same thoughts coming through in the alleluia, the idea of providence, despite all persecution, Lord, really speaking to God the Father here, I rest in your arms. These are not the words, but this is the sentiment. I rest in your hand, your confidence. I, learning from the gospel, I am not, our Lord taught us in the first Sunday of Lent. He was tempted in the desert, and we heard all about that. The threefold concupiscence that attacks us. We're reminded again in this gospel account. What are they? Concupiscence of the eyes, the concupiscence of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what these three people were saying. Concupiscence of the flesh. I just married. I cannot come. He didn't even give any explanation besides that. The man with the concupiscence of the eyes, this avarice, this insatiable desire for, not God, but material things. So what about this person? Well, I just bought these oxen. I got to find out if I got a good deal on this. Let me go test them out. And then we have the pride of life. Worst one, maybe? And what's this man? I just bought a farm. What does he want to do? I just want to see it. I want to glory in what I've just done. They put all these things ahead of the feast that the man was giving. St. Gregory, talking about this gospel, says, people, do not be fooled. Material things are limited. They are finite. They are material. He's just speaking philosophically. If you follow those, the more you take them, the less they give you. I think of the parents, they gave their son all the gifts he wanted for Christmas. And he, after opening the last one, was completely unsatisfied because they're all material. Maybe they learned, parents maybe learned, maybe the son learned, that that's not going to make you happy. It's the infinite, the immaterial. God is the only thing that will satisfy the eternal longings of the human soul. That's what St. Gregory tells us. And then, we cannot go into detail here, but you see how our Lord is teaching us. He invites everybody. God wills the salvation of all men. Do we hear that on Trinity Sunday? If you were listening to the sermon, pray. We were told by Father, pray that all be saved. They will be saved if we pray for them. So It's the condition. So here it is. Everyone is invited. Some don't come. He sends out an invitation to others. They respond. There's still room. And he says, compel them. Make them come in. This is the whole tract on grace. Sufficient grace for all. Efficacious grace for the saved. And then he ends, says, here the translation says that he, none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper. Latin says, none of those who were called will taste of my supper. Now, all of us are called, but when we hear the words vocatus, we think of the word vocation. We think of those who have taken their vocation, followed. I'm talking about, usually we talk about vocation, we're talking about a religious vocation, but everyone does have a calling in life, but I'm talking here about that because he's saying those who turn down the vocation will not come to the supper. So as a priest, can't help but see this. Now, okay, this is obviously for people who have been called to a vocation and whatever. We can talk about that all we want. But I'm thinking about the people who were called to a vocation and they didn't live up to it. I'm thinking of Heli and his sons. And I'm thinking of the feast day coming up here, of the Feast of the Sacred Heart. And I'm thinking to myself, our Lord says to St. Margaret Mary, what hurts me the most are the consecrated souls. Ignore me. Now, we extend that to who's the most consecrated soul? It's the priest. So he is telling everybody, we must make up reparation for the priests. But we don't want to leave anybody out. We are all consecrated by our baptism. So that's what hurts him, but mostly the priests. And we just, as we close, because we want to go away, everyone, very encouraged. It's all there. The grace is there. Grab it. But the way to grab it is you got to pray. Sacraments and prayer. Grab it. It's right there. Don't leave it for the next person. You get it. And you can give it to somebody else. See, that's the other thing. You take it. They tell you on the airplanes, put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you try and help anybody. That was so counterintuitive the very first time I heard that. If you're traveling with young people, what you do when the oxygen mask comes down, I'm sitting there waiting for the words to come out that take the oxygen mask and put it on that person, that young person. And they said, take it and put it on yourself first. Wow, how counterintuitive. But that's true. You can't give anything to anybody in the natural or supernatural order unless you've got it yourself. So you take the sacraments, you take these gifts, and once you've got it, you will give it out of the abundance of your own soul to others. So I'm saying grab all these things, but at the same time, I'm saying be warned. I'm warned. Corpus Christi is always the warm-up for this, because how many people ignored it? I don't know. And so the Sacred Heart comes up for the chance to make reparation. And we can be saying the Litany of the Sacred Heart well during this month dedicated to the Sacred Heart. We should be trying to come. You can see, we said it on Memorial Day, that story. But see what's happening. The gifts are already contracting. No more two masses. No more two masses each day. Nobody comes. Now, we know everyone's got major things going on. We're in a crisis out there. But, so, it's already starting to contract. Are we already, as things are becoming more normal, everything's fine. Please don't think that way. We're in a battle for our soul's eternal salvation. And God wants to give it to us. He wants us to come for the Blessed Sacrament. Pray that we do it, and we'll be blessed and in heaven one day. May God bless you.